Welcome, everyone, to the Fox Sisters podcast. This is the very first episode called Where It Began. I am Grace McDermott, and I am your host here to tell you all the information I've gathered about these sisters. So we'll begin where the story all started, and the background of where the Fox Sisters and their schemes came from. We will be jumping all the way back to the 1800s, during a time of reform and progression for spiritualism. Let's set the scene at the end of March, 1848, in Hydesville, New York, where two sisters live with their family in a small farmhouse. The Fox family had been experiencing rapping noises, like large knocks from the unknown. Something like that. There was really only one room which they lived in and slept in all together, and each night around bedtime, these raps would occur for the whole family, appearing to be manifested on the ground and the furniture around them. For a month, these raps would occur, and seemed to be able to answer specific questions. For example, Mrs. Fox would ask a question like, count to five, and then moments later, you would hear five times, five knocks. They went to the neighbors to seek help, and they determined that these raps were coming from the spirit of a murdered peddler who once lived there before and was actually buried on the property. But Mrs. Fox had come from a long line of seers, who are people who have great accuracy in manifesting and predicting events such as births and deaths. So when the girls pointed out these noises, Mrs. Fox really wasn't surprised, as she assumed that her daughters had inherited some sort of spirit manifesting trait from her side of the family. One thing that the poor Fox parents really didn't consider is that the first occurrence of these noises happened to be on the last night in March, which coincidentally is the eve of April Fool's. Now, I know that this is in the 1800s, so April Fool's was most likely not the same type of day we have now, but it is a coincidence that it happened on the same night. And these raps were just the scheme of two young girls who were able to fool their parents and the people around them, really nothing more than a joke. My initial thought was, how could they produce such noises without being easily noticed by those around them? I know if it were me, and I was trying to pull some scheme, I would look like an idiot trying to hide my stomping feet under a table, and I probably wouldn't last more than a few minutes before I would laugh at myself and the confused people around me while I was trying to pull this off. I'm sure I would look up at my sister and just die laughing. Although, I still don't know how they managed to be so discreet. They create their noises with just their own feet. The girls went on with their prank, and this actually caused them and their family to have to move out of the house, but still, Maggie and Kate did not fess up to anything. The two of them ended up moving in with their older sister, Leah, and she lived in Rochester, New York. A little bit of background information on the city of Rochester, New York during this time is Rochester was a hotbed for reform and religious activity. So the older sister, Leah, practiced spiritualism, and she was surrounded in a town of people who also believed in these weird noises, the presence of spirits, and serious religion. So back to the story. Leah was not as naive as Mrs. Fox when the girls attempted to pull this on her. She knew something was up and made them explain themselves immediately. So instead of getting in trouble, though, Leah had other plans in her head and of what to do with these seances the girls were performing. Leah was going to take advantage of the area around her and the very weird talent of her sisters. What was at first just an idea of two twisted sisters, probably bored in their tiny little bedroom, became much more than that. In the next episode of the podcast, I'll explain exactly what Leah has in store for them and how the sisters are going to expand their act. So, next time you and your sister are planning a mastermind against your brother to get a good laugh out of everyone and scaring him, whoever it may be, on April Fool's this year, you might want to consider you could be remembered in history as a fraud, because that is how they were remembered. That is, if you do what they did. But we will get to that next week. Tune in to episode 2, The Fame and the Fall, to hear about how Maggie, Kate, and Leah launched a career, but it will all come crashing back down on them. Until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 2 of the Fox Sisters podcast, and today's episode is The Fame and the Fall. Last time, we went back to the 1800s as we introduced the sisters, Maggie, Kate, and Leah. The eve of April Fool's in a small farmhouse in New York, Maggie and Kate pulled a prank on their parents, tricking them that there was a manifested spirit in their house each night, when in reality, the girls were just making rapping noises with their feet. We left off when the two girls moved in with their older sister, Leah, in Rochester, New York, a hotbed for reform and spiritualism. The girls had attempted to fool Leah, which did not work. However, this sparked an idea in Leah's mind. Now we will look at how their journey to fame begins. Living in the location she did, Leah thought that her two younger sisters could put on this act for people around them. Community leaders Isaac and Amy Post were very intrigued by the rumor that these girls could communicate with spirits, and they wanted to do some investigating. They went back to the Fox family's old house where this all started to look for evidence of a buried body under the property. They found what appeared to be fragments of bone and hair and concluded that the murdered peddler was most likely buried there. The Post family had lost their daughter and wanted the Fox sisters to attempt at communicating with her, such as they were with this murdered peddler. The sisters put on their act as they had done before, and the Post family agreed that there was no evidence of a hoax. Of course, they were wrong. They were being swindled by these sisters. And sadly for them, they were not communicating with their past daughter. They were listening to the sounds of Maggie and Kate's toes and feet. This was the first act to others that proved they could pull this off and make money out of it. From there, Leah continued to take the reins and became the girls' manager. This girl sparked the interest of Franz Anton Mesmer, an 18th century Australian healer, Emanuel Swedenborg, an 18th century Swedish philosopher and mystic, and a 19th century American seer, Andrew Jackson Davis. These were well-known men at the time, so it was a pretty big deal that they had sparked their interest. David ended up inviting the sisters to his home so that he could witness their seances for himself. From then on, the sisters went on a professional tour where they displayed their sessions in hotel parlors. Maggie and Kate traveled all over to different cities, putting on these acts, while Leah stayed back in New York but continued to manage them. I want to pause real quick and discuss something that I think is important. Like I stated in the first episode, during this time period, there was a lot of reform and progression for spiritualism. But just before this, spiritualism was highly frowned upon. Before this reform was the times of the Salem witch trials. If the sisters had tried pulling this act earlier in time, they would have most likely found themselves being tormented or hung, even if it was just a prank that they were pulling. When I read up on this, I found it interesting because, to me, it makes their stupid prank much more risky. You probably aren't thinking that what they're doing is a big deal at all, but if you put it in the perspective of the era they're in, it changes things. Because it was a time of the Industrial Revolution, and many new things were being explored. It made people more likely to buy into the sisters' act, and it drew them much more attention. So the sisters continued on with their act, and they built up fame. But with the fame, Maggie and Kate grew tired. They put on this fake illusion to so many people over and over again, and wanted to move on from it. They decided that they would bid the spirits goodbye, and declared it was their final time communicating with them. This did not last long, though, because Leah, the one who got them into this whole mess, insisted that they continue on and bring the spirits back. They did so, as Leah asked, but fast-forwarding a bit, Leah ended up retiring as their manager in 1857, as she had her own life. Maggie and Kate really struggled on their own. Maggie ended up publicly denouncing spiritualism and exposing their whole act to everyone. They were now known as frauds and began to really just be completely forgotten by society. They would struggle a lot from here on out. It is said that Maggie did this out of anger towards Leah, and I'm going to continue into the next episode on details about each sister and how they struggled and why this all happened. Fame can turn people crazy, break them down, and ruin them. These sisters had their taste of fame, but could not handle everything that came with it, and their secret of using their feet to make spirit noises came into the light. Thank you for listening to episode 2, and make sure to turn into episode 3, Personal Lives, where I will cover each sister and their lives individually. Until next time. Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Grace McDermott, and today's episode is the third and final one of the Fox Sisters podcast. The episode is called Personal Lives, where I'll be going over each sister and, you guessed it, their personal lives. Together, these three sisters made a major scandal for their time, and specifically, Maggie and Kate were remembered as frauds, even though it was their older sister Leah's idea to take their act public. Let's start with discussing Leah, the mastermind behind it all. Leah was the oldest of the three sisters, but also of 6 or more children from the Fox parents. She was born in 1818 and lived in New York. Leah was married to a man with the last name Fish, so she was also known by the name of Leah Fish during this time. She ended up remarrying to another man named Kelvin Brown, who passed away in 1851. She then married Daniel Underhill, who was an insurance executive and spiritualist. Leah played a large role in spiritualism during this time, and she was said to be greatly mourned when she passed away in 1890. Between the three sisters, Leah ended up being the best off, and she remained happy and wealthy during her life, unlike the other two, which I will get into next. You would think that because Maggie and Kate confessed to everything, that Leah would have fallen with them too. But the blame and fraud really was only put on Maggie and Kate. This could be because Leah had quit as their manager, so she was no longer associated with them, or because she was doing well with her husband and the other two were struggling. Leah was the first of the three to pass away, but she lived a much longer life than her sisters. Next up, we have Margaret, or Maggie Fox, who was the second oldest of the three. While they were performing their acts, Maggie met Elijah Kent Kane, who was an Arctic explorer. The two were secretly engaged, and due to his beliefs, she was going to give up the practice of spiritualism. Sadly, Kane went away on a journey and never returned home. This caused Maggie to fall into a deep depression and became addicted to alcohol. Alcoholism ended up being the cause of her death years later. When Kane never returned, Maggie ended up trying to take back what she said about denouncing spiritualism and their fraud-filled act, but they had been forgotten and Maggie had nothing left in her life. It is rumored that when Maggie made her confessions, she was most likely under the influence of alcohol, and other spiritualists stated that the confession was a shabby lie and a grab for money. Similar to Maggie, the youngest sister, Catherine, or Kate Fox, ended up being forgotten and depressed as well. Before she was forgotten, though, in the 1870s, the sisters had traveled to England due to rapid growth of spiritualism there, and Kate met her husband. Kate married a man of the name H.D. Jenkin in 1872. They had 2 sons together, both of them being incredibly psychic. Kate was also a medium for a rich banker named Charles F. Livermore. Her job was to communicate with his dead wife, Estelle. She communicated with her for over 5 years, a total of approximately 400 sittings. Through this, Kate was able to keep her journey in spiritualism going for a while longer, while during this time was when Maggie was taking a break from spiritualism because of her fiancé. Kate's husband, Jenkin, later died in 1881, and around 1885, Kate attempted to come back to the United States to continue her career, but, like Maggie, she fell into alcoholism, and a few years later, her children were taken from her because of her addiction. Kate died from alcohol just before her sister Maggie. These three sisters had one crazy life that was really shaped all around one joke that Maggie and Kate made up in a small little house with their family. During a time of reform and exploration, people will believe just about anything, especially if it can be performed well. Although the Fox sisters had their taste at fame, ultimately, it sent Maggie and Kate into depression and poverty and caused them to be remembered as frauds. I hope you enjoyed listening to my podcast about these three twisted sisters and that you learned something new. Thank you for following along and listening. Bye.